Joseph Conroy at the Eisenhower Building.
I was going to tell you, see, I was born and brought up in the South End. Now, the South End, what you know, is the University of Bridgeport, right?
Yes.
Well, when I lived there, three or four houses from blocks from Seaside Park, it was all West wealthy industrialists. It was all estates down there. All these industrialists had their own houses and servants. They also had chauffeurs and gardeners when they had their children. I played with their children. I was in all their houses. We had Bryan Electric Company was up the street from me, you know, that owns a Bryan Electric factory. Howland's Dry Goods, Mr. Howland had a mansion up there. Harvey Hubble had a mansion down there. I was in all their houses. Well, I lived down Atlantic Street. At Marina Park was P.T. Barnum's mansion, which has been torn down by the University of Bridgeport and is now a lunchroom. But P.T. Barnum's grandson lived there. His name was Marshall, I think. And his wife died and his son got killed in a war and he lived there by himself. And he used to race yachts, you know, like those big yachts that they have those international races. And he was very seldom home. Wilson Marshall was his name. Well, he had a chauffeur. And across the street from me was a chauffeur's home. We had two children. I used to play with the kids. I was in all these houses when I was a kid. He also had a gardener. And he had directly across from me, which would be in back of his mansion, was a garden. Well, it was as long as from here to past Main Street. And this gardener kept all kinds of vegetables and everything. And of course, Mr. Marshall was never home. And all the vegetables and everything were given to the
needy.
You know, us people that lived down there. And you could go in, well, you couldn't help yourself. And Warner's had an estate down there, owned Warner Brothers. Mm-hmm. There were several brothers. They all had their big homes, and they all had their big, their servants and their chauffeurs. Well, right on the corner of Atlantic Street and Park Avenue was Howland's. You know the Howland's Dry Goods store? Yeah. Well, Mr. Howland was very old, and he had a nurse to travel with him. He lived in Florida in the winter months. And in April, this house was all shut up. In April, all of a sudden in April, all the place would open up. His servants would come and open the windows and put out the blankets and everything and get the house ready for Mr. Howland. Well, Mr. Howland would come down with his nurse and he'd stay maybe 2 weeks. And then he'd go up to Vermont. He had a prize, he raised prize cattle. He had a farm up in Vermont. And he stayed in Vermont until October. Same thing happened in October. All the servants came down, opened the windows, cleared everything, dusted everything. He stayed 2 weeks. The house is still there. It's run, the University of Bridgeport has it. When I was a kid, we used to play around the house. We used to play chase and everything. We never did any damage. We ran all around and jumped on everything, but we never broke any windows or broke in. But he had his garages across the street from my house on Atlantic Street. It seemed very strange, you know, to have a big house and only use it for maybe a couple of weeks in the... So what happened then, when people couldn't get servants, they all moved out and all the houses were bought by the University of Bridgeport. And you know, turned into libraries and all the school buildings. And then I also can tell you that out on Bay Road Avenue and Wharton Avenue was a Byron Bailey's Winter Quarters. Did you know anything about the Byron Bailey's Winter Quarters, the circus?
No.
Well, when I was a kid, the circus, where Wentfield is, you know where Wentfield is? Well, that was all buildings for the circus. And come this time, no, not this time of the year, come October, the circus would be finished their tour and they'd bring all the animals, everything back to there. Well, that was a great thing for us people in Bridgeport. It was a great thing to go out, take a walk, and go out and to the circus grounds. It was right a fence all around it, but you could look through the fence, and sometimes you could see they'd have the horses out training them. They had the elephants out training them, and it was really a cheap way of passing the time. The people would take their kids out, you know, well, let's go out to circus headquarters, and we walked around there, and if you were lucky, you could see the horses out. And then on one side of it, they had a small fence about 4 feet high, and they kept the wild animals. Windows were all barred, but when we were kids, we'd hop over that fence and look in that window, and you'd see the lions and the tigers, but they were in cages, you know. But there was one particular part there where they had the hippopotamus and a big tank of water. So we'd jump over the fence, and maybe the fence was here, and you'd only go to that window, and you look in the window, and sometimes you look in, you see the hippopotamus, and then all of a sudden he might rear up, you know, out of the water and open his big mouth, and we'd all get scared and jumped over the fence. It was great. And then, of course, then after, I don't know how many years they stayed there, but then afterwards they decided it was cheaper to easier probably to winter quarters in Florida, in Sarasota, Florida. Of course, they had all the circus wagons there and used to paint them outside in the yards. So you could go and see all these things. It was a cheap way of, you know,
entertainment.
Yeah.
Past the time.
Yeah, especially for the kids, because all the kids wanted to see the elephants. And
may I ask your name?
Joseph Conroy.
Could you tell me your age?
76.
When were you born?
Bridgeport.
What is the date of your birth? What's the date of your birth?
March 1908.
Could you tell me about your family?
Well, I got married late in life, and I've been married about 24 years. And my wife got sick, she went to Diamond Center. She was up there for a year and she died. I do volunteer work up in Diamond Center. They have two gift shops up there, and I run the gift shops since I retired. I retired 11 years, and I do a lot of volunteer work, yeah.
Could you tell me about your childhood? Was it happy, fun, lots of things to do?
You mean is there?
Your childhood, was it a lot of things to do? Was it, were there many things that they have for kids nowadays as there was back then?
You mean when I was a kid, Well, I think we had more things than you kids have nowadays. In the first place, we had 4 or 5 or 6 big shows on Main Street. You know, we had the two Polite Theater to go. We had a Globe Theater. We had a Cameo Theater. We had a Ritz Ballroom. Used to go out to Ritz Ballroom. Thursday night was Prosperity Night, 25 cents to go to a dance. And Sunday, where they brought all the big bands, Rudy Valley and Glenn Miller, and I mean, I think there was more to do
How many brothers and sisters do you have?
I have one sister.
What's her name?
Julia.
Were your parents employed?
You what?
Did they have jobs? Did your parents have jobs?
Who?
Your mother and father.
Oh yeah, my father worked in Jenkins Brothers. My mother never worked. Women never worked much, no. My father worked in Jenkins Brothers and I worked in Jenkins Brothers 48 years.
What ethnic background are your parents?
No.
What ethnic background are your parents?
Well, they came from Ireland, and that's where they were born, in Ireland. Yeah.
When did your parents come to Bridgeport?
They came in 1905, from Ireland. They came across, you know, on a boat, yeah.
You were born in Bridgeport, right?
1908, yeah.
Where did you live?
I lived on Broad Street originally until I was 5 years old, and then I moved to Atlantic Street. That's the street I told you. Well, you know where that is, don't you? Yeah.
What level of education did you complete?
Well, I went to Sacred Heart School. And I went to Central High, graduated, the old one, the City Hall across the street. And then I went to business college for 2 or 3 years, nights when I started to work.
Did you go to college? Did you go to college?
No.
What was education like during the years of you going to school?
Well, not as, I don't think it was as sophisticated as it was now, you know. No, I mean, we didn't have
computers.
No, we didn't have, in the first place, we didn't have all these advantages that you have, all these trips and, we never have psychological, psychiatrists or any of those kind of people, no.
What groups or activities were you in while you were going to school?
What do you want?
Were you in any groups or activities when you were in high school?
You mean in
Key Club or something
in
like that?
In school or? Well, I never was much in school, I'm going to tell you that. I don't remember. In the Athletic Association, maybe, but. I never was in any orchestra, I never played anything, or I never was in a drama club or anything else, no.
What was the percentage of ethnic groups that went to your school? Were there a lot of blacks in your school when you went to school?
No.
No? Was there any other kind
of... Well, no, not too much minorities when I went to school, no. Mm-hmm. No.
Do you remember the World War II?
Yeah.
How was it? Was it hard on the family?
No, not exactly. We had rationing of sugar. I know it was hard. My mother used to have to. Somebody would tell her that they were giving out a pound of sugar, and maybe over on the east side or something. And, she'd go over there and had to do a lot of that kind of, yeah. It was a lot of rationing, I think, yeah.
Could you tell me about the Depression and the bread and soup line?
In the 1929, yeah.
Were there bread and soup?
I was lucky. I worked all during the Depression. We got a cut in pay. But I never lost any time, but the company where I worked, where they worked for 3 days a week, every other week, and sometimes the men only got 2 days a week, but they managed to keep their jobs, you know.
Did your father lose his job during the Depression?
Yeah, my father always worked, and his pay was cut, and his hours were cut. In other words, they gave more men, to get more men on work by cutting their hours. And I imagine it was pretty hard I imagine it was pretty hard to make ends. I know my mother took in roomers. Yeah, she took in roomers, you know, to make both ends meet. I often wonder how she educated both me and my sister and managed, but yeah, it was tough.
What changes occurred during World War II? Were women having more jobs? Did they start to work during War II?
Well, what do you mean?
Did women start to get jobs during?
No, they, very few women worked. I mean, especially married women. Yeah, huh?
Could you tell me about the Korean War?
About the what?
Korean War. War.
I don't know what you mean, where? Oh, the Korean War. I don't know too much about it.
Could you tell me about some of the neighborhoods? Do you know anything about the North End?
No. I live in the North End now, but I don't know too much. Because I've only moved in the North End in 1951, which is kind of a modern. It hasn't changed that much since, you know, since I've been there. I haven't seen too much change in it.
How about the East Side?
Well, never had anything to do with the East Side.
Are there anything historical on the East Side?
Well, I know the Stratford Avenue. Stratford Avenue used to be quite a nice street years ago. We had a lot of business there, and they had a couple of movie houses. We used to go to Hippodrome, and they were small movie houses. They were all gone. That's about the only... it's a funny thing, but the people that lived on this side of the town, the bridge, generally kind of more or less stayed on this side. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Even if they moved, if they bought a new house or a new rent, they stayed over this side of the bridge. Whereas the people on the east side, if they moved, they always moved on that other side of the bridge. I don't know why. Maybe because, maybe on account of transportation problems. Because there wasn't too many cars then, you know. I walked to school from the South End all the way up to, you know, across the street. Yeah.
Do you know anything about the East End?
No.
How about the West Side?
I mean, West End?
The West Side.
What?
Yeah, could you tell me something about the West End?
Well, I don't know too much about the West End either. Again, it was State Street was a very nice street there. We had all kinds of small businesses, and they had a nice movie house there, the West End Theater, and I used to bowl out there in the bowling alleys, and out there by Bassett's High School. And that's pretty well all shot. The West End in Colorado Avenue was highly populated by the French. St. Anthony's Church was there. And all the French people lived there. They had a French priest and everything.
Where did the Italians live? On what side of town did the Italians live?
And now?
No, in 1920. What side of town did they live on? The east side? What side of town did the Italians live on? I heard that ethnic groups, they lived in certain parts of the city on different sides.
Well, I don't know too much about the side, no. I can't tell you.
What church did you attend?
St. Augustine's.
What can you tell me that was good about Seaside Park?
Well, I used to practically lived all my life in Seaside Park. I was only 3 or 4 blocks from the park. We used to play ball, and we used to go swimming. But when I was smaller, all the mothers in the South End, because as I say, the mothers never worked then, They used to take you down to the, we used to go swimming by Petey Barnes Monument. You know where that there, between Petey Barnes Monument and Howe's Monument, all the people from the South End used to go, and the mothers used to go down, and they used to carry regular umbrellas, you know, rain umbrellas, because they didn't have them fancy ones then, and they'd sit there on the rocks, and we'd go in swimming, and they'd sit with the, you know, with rain umbrellas. Yeah, well, that's the only kind of, but anyway, no fancy. And then we used to go down there and play ball all the time, because they had a lot of ball games and everything else.
Could you tell me anything about Pleasure Beach?
Yeah, Pleasure Beach, of course, was a great amusement resort. And I lived in the South End, and in the corner on Henry Street. Do you know where Henry Street is? Well, we used to get a boat there, and you go down there, and my mother and father would take me. We'd get a boat, not a big boat, not a big steamer. Maybe hold about 12 or 14 people. And we'd get the boat, and we'd go across the harbor, and we'd land at Pleasure Beach. And Pleasure Beach had of course you know, they had all kinds of amusement. They had a Pleasure Beach ballroom. It was a beautiful ballroom. We used to go over there to dances. And then that was run in the summer. And that was another thing, that they had all the big bands come there. But then they also had the local bands. You should go over there, either stag or take your girlfriend or your boyfriend, but most of them went stag, you know, and it wasn't too expensive, maybe 50 cents, of course the rides were only 10 or 15 cents.
Nowadays it costs what about at least 70, a dollar something to get on.
And they had the merry-go-round and the whip, and then they also used to have some companies and some societies would have their outing over there. You go over there and have like a picnic, and then you could, you know, go on all the rides and everything. They had a big field there where you could have it. And then they had the Penny Arcade. And that's a shame that Pleasure Beach was let down, you know. We used to go over there some Sunday nights. When I was a teenager, and if you didn't go to the dance, you'd just go over there and pass the time. So that's another thing that your kids don't have now, you know. Of course, you can go to Ride Beach, but it's a long ways to travel. It's expensive, yeah.
Do you know anything about Beardsley Park?
Yeah, Beardsley Park. Well, in my day, they didn't have the zoo at all. It was just a place where you could go swimming there. Before they built
the
True Way or whatever it is, there was a sandy beach over there. And you could go swimming. And ask us to go swimming. A lot of people that didn't like salt water, they had lifeguards up there and everything. And then they built that road going up there. They knocked out the sandy beach. Of course, you couldn't go swimming on a park side because it was, I guess it was dangerous. And all it generally was a picnic grounds, and there was no zoo or nothing up there but the trees and the flowers. And in fact, a lot of people that got married used to go up there. And I went up a couple of times when I was in a wedding parties, and they have pictures taken up there. All the flowers by the flower house and hot house. It was quite a place to go to get your pictures taken. But I think it's better now because with the zoo and everything, it's a good attraction, you know, to take the kids. I like to go up there myself and look at the animals, you know, yeah. Yeah.
Were movies and shows popular in the 20s and 30s?
You mean what pictures?
Were they popular to go to?
Oh, yeah. But I don't remember, can't recall the pictures or anything. Do you mean the names of the pictures and the shows?
No. Was it like a family thing? Families go and see a show?
Oh, yeah. They had a Lyric Theater used to have stage shows. That was up where Clifford House is now. And down below where the Bridgeport Hydraulic Company is, that was a park theater. And they used to have plays. And of course, I told you they had a polarized Majestic Palace Globe. The Warner Brothers over on State Street, the Plaza down there on Fairfield Avenue. So if you want to go to a show, if you couldn't get in one, well, what Sunday nights when you went to those movies, if you didn't go early, you'd have to wait in line all the way up Congress Street. Because when I went to the movies two or three times a week.
And how much were the movies?
40 cents. Maybe you paid less if you sat up in the stairs. And the Palace Theater, of course, we held 3,000 or 4,000 people. It was packed on Sunday nights, big, as I told you, big long lines. If you go in, if you couldn't get in the Palace, a good picture was playing there, you went across to the Majestic, or you went to the Globe, you know. They had a Globe, had a vaudeville acts, good vaudeville acts. Yeah, and it was cheap. Of course, we didn't make much money. When I first went to work, I only made $20-$25 a week.
That's how much you make now.
But when I used to tell the girls that worked for me, yeah, this is later on, years, you know, I told them what I told you about all the shows and all the places we had to go. And I used to go to New York to the ball games. I went to Madison Square Garden. I wasn't married or anything. And I said, I made $25 a week. They look at me like I was crazy. How could you do it? We used to bowl for two strings for 30 cents or something in a bowling alley. But you only made $25. You know, and we used to go down and park there where you go now, where they have the hot dog stands. 10 cents for a hot dog, or 15 cents for a hot dog. But you only made $25 or $20. When I told you about going, when I was in high school, when we used to walk out to the circus grounds, my father would give me 25 cents. And then we walk uptown over and buy a hot dog. And I used to go to Newfield Park, which was where they used to have the Eastern League. That was a Class A league. Some of the players went to the big leagues. And I was always great for sports. Well, my father gave me 25 cents on Sunday. Well, we went with three or four other kids. It cost me 15 cents to get into the ball game. If we had 10 cents left, if we walked over, now, you know where Newfield Park is? When we walked from the South End both ways, we had 10 cents to buy something. And if we took the bus, the General Electric bus we used to take, and we paid 5 cents on the bus one way and 5 cents on the bus the other way. So if you took the bus and you didn't get anything to eat, you wouldn't buy no hot dog or soda or anything else. But 25 cents is... It sounds amazing now. Yeah, but doesn't it sound amazing? But you figure what can you go on 25 cents on now? You can't buy nothing. You can't even get on a bus, right?
Yeah.
We walk, and sometimes we'd hitch a ride, but most of the times we... Of course, they had trolley cars in my day.
Trolley cars
ran down Park Avenue to Seaside Park. And, you know, all the times I went to school, I never can remember that they closed down on account of snowstorms or anything, because the trolley cars always had attachments in front when the trolley cars used to come down and push the snow. But we never rode on a trolley car much. We walked. And, of course, the trolley cars had a pole, and you've seen them. Well, when we were kids, I mean, not too much, but some of the kids were fresh. When the trolley car would stop, they'd run and they'd pull the thing down. So So he couldn't start it then, you know, and he'd have to get out and come back and push the pull. It was a pulley. It went on a wire with electricity. And we every year was one of the big treats in Bridgeport was to go to Savin Rock. Savin Rock was a tremendous amusement. Pleasure Beach was only peanuts compared to, oh, they had all kinds of, several roller coasters, all kinds of rides and everything. Used to go, my father used to take us for the day on a trolley car to Savin Rock, open air trolley car. And all of it, sometimes it would be so crowded that the men would have to stand on the, and on the running board. And we always, when we came out of Savin Rock, we always wanted to try to get in the first seat, right in back of the motorman. And you know, they'd go and you get that wind and everything. It was quite a ride, you know. That's new, almost up in New Haven. You know where Savin Rock is. Yeah. But everybody used to go there. And well, we only went once a year. Maybe once in a while, if you were affluent, you went twice because people couldn't afford them. The rides were only 10 cents or 15 cents, but yeah. My father and mother used to take us up every year. And then we had a steamboat that used to go to New York, the Richard Peck. And my mother used to take us down there, and you go on a get boat the same place where you get the Port Jefferson boat, and then would go all down past Norwalk, and all along the, and you get down to New York, and you could come back on a boat, or you could stay over, yeah. So.
How much did the ferry cost?
I forget. Well, not much. I can't. Probably cost 50 cents or 75 cents at the most, yeah. You mean to go to New York? Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, looking back on it, it wasn't too bad a life. You know what I mean? Yeah. We had all these things that they don't have now, yeah.
Okay. Thank you for letting me interview you.
Yeah. Okay.